Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Hey everyone, how are you doing? Good. Oh, it's great to be here. I am so excited and so happy that I got to come, and I came under the excuse of babysitting my brother's kids, but in return, I got to hang out with all of you cool guys. So thank you guys so much for having me. I talked to my husband, Ulu, this morning. He had to stay home and look after our church in Auckland Southside. He's very jealous that I got to come here because we love coming here. We love our Every Nation Brisbane family. You guys are the bomb. But thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor to get to talk to you guys today. If you're visiting today, I'm visiting too. I'm not the usual speaker, so still come back next week if you think, what the heck was that? So still come back next week, okay? It won't be me. We're on the final week of a series that you guys have been doing here called Relationships. Relationships. Pretty clever, huh? And so in this series, you've been looking at God's design for relationships, whether it's friendships or dating or marriage, all cool things like that. And so today I'm going to talk about something that is essential for any healthy relationship, which is our relationship with God and also our relationship with others. And so the topic that I'm going to talk to you about today is forgiveness. Ooh, I know, right? Couldn't we talk about like love and butterflies? But no. In other words, forgiving those who hurt you. So Jesus had a lot to say about forgiving people who hurt us or offend us. Right in the heart of teaching his disciples how to pray, he said this in Matthew 6:9-15. It says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those who trespass against us." Verse 13, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And verses 14 and 15, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Let us pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this time together. We thank you that you've opened our hearts to receive from you. I pray, Lord, that we would receive whatever it is that you have to say to us today, whether there's things that you want to deal with in us. Lord, I pray that we would hear from you clearly and that we would step out boldly to obey you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And so right in the heart of the Lord's Prayer, there is this discussion about how we should deal with people who hurt us, how we should deal with the wounds that people inflict upon us. So what's the bet if I was to ask you guys here today, who has been hurt before by somebody? Put your hand up if you don't mind. We're going to get a bit of exercise in church today. Pretty much everyone, right? We've all been hurt. You know, pretty much from as when you get old enough to even say the words, "I've been hurt," you've probably been hurt. And so all of us in here, we carry wounds from what people have done to us. Some of us here may have some real fresh wounds that are still sensitive. Some of us may have wounds that are a scar because they happened a while ago, or that God's starting to heal in us. But all of us know what it's like to journey through life having been wounded deeply. No one is immune from being hurt. If you didn't put your hand up just then, you probably just had a really great morning and can't think of a time right now. But even in fact, in Luke 17, Jesus himself said, "It is impossible but for offense to come." In other words, offense is inevitable. We're all going to have to deal with hurt. It could be something as simple as like a miscommunication, like, "Oh, I thought you meant that Starbucks. I was waiting for you at the other Starbucks." You know, it was accidental that they hurt your feelings. They didn't really stand you up. Or it could be that someone was really cruel and they intentionally hurt you. Even in the little groan that came out when I told you guys what I was talking about, some of you heard the word forgiveness and then you thought, "Oh, great. It's going to be hard." Maybe because there's still a very fresh wound there. And so for some of you, you know, have you ever talked to someone who like tells you a story about something really bad that happened to them? And you're listening to the story and it sounds like it just happened like yesterday. They're like, they remember everything. They remember every detail. You know, they remember what undies they were wearing. You know, they're like, and then, oh my gosh, she said this, the nerve. No one in here, though, eh? But some of us, I reckon, maybe a lot of us in here, are those people who get hurt. Stuff happens, but you are pretty tough, right? You're pretty tough. You know, no, I'll be all good. I'll be all good. We'll just carry on. And you kind of bury the hurt deep down. And you try to forget about it. And you're doing all right, right? You do okay. Because we're all pretty tough in here, eh? We're not sensitive people, you know? But then all of a sudden, something will remind you, like maybe someone will mention a name, and then all of a sudden, rawr, and you're like, oh, sorry, I didn't know where that came from, you know? Oopsie. And then God kind of gives you those little reminders that, hey, we still need to deal with this. And, you know, I joke around, but I don't want to minimize the pain that we are feeling, because pain is actually a very important thing for us to feel so that we can know that there's something wrong and that there's something that needs to be dealt with. Some of you may say, yeah, she comes from New Zealand talking about forgiveness, but you don't know what I've been through. You don't understand what people have done to me. And I just want to acknowledge before I get into this that you're right, I don't know. I am aware that there are a lot of very horrible things that do go on out there in the world today, and I know that a lot of you here have been through some really tough times, and you're right, I may not understand the pain that you've been through, but I do know a God who heals. I do know a God who loves you so much that he paid a high price so that you could walk free from bondage and free from pain. You may have been gossiped about. If you've been gossiped about, it means you're really interesting. If you haven't been gossiped about, don't worry about it. Oh. You got it. You know, or you might have a spouse or a partner who's betrayed your marriage vows, some other kind of betrayal like that. Or you may have a parent who abandoned you. Maybe a parent, a friend, a work colleague, a neighbor, a family member, or even your child that has done something or said something that has cut you really deep. Some of us here may be angry at someone who has passed away. They're gone, but you still carry that hurt around and bitterness because of them. And if that wasn't enough, sometimes us as people, when someone that we love gets hurt, then we find a way to get hurt then. You know, we take on their offenses and we get hurt by that. And to a degree, sometimes I think that those kinds of hurts, when someone hurts someone you love, those can be sometimes a little bit harder to get over, right? I remember years ago, I think I was maybe about 10 and Nally was 13, and we were at our church. We grew up in our family church in West Auckland, but we used to have, I'm sure a lot of you guys who grew up in traditional island churches have combines where all of your churches from around Auckland would get together and have like special services. And there was this one time we were at our city church, and you know, they made like cups of teas and donuts and cakes and stuff at the end of whatever meeting it was. And there was a whole bunch of our Sunday school and youth kids from our West Auckland church. We were sitting outside and we're eating our pieces of cake and drinking our tea. And I remember Nally was sitting there and he was eating, and then he must have stood up to go and shake his crumbs off. So he stood up and then he took a couple of steps forward and he was like dusting his crumbs off. And this old lady who was one of the ladies at our town church, she just turned to Nelly and just started yelling at him and said, "How dare you come to our church?" You know, she's quite dramatic and quite, I think she was performing for all the other people who were watching. "How dare you come to our church and leave your plates there? Who do you think's going to clean up your plates after you? It's because you come all the way from West Auckland." So she just went in on my poor brother. And I was sitting there and I don't know if I had a little bit of an anger problem. Probably not. I just really, really loved my big brother. Or maybe just a little bit of anger there. And I got so mad. I mean, he's pretty tough, so he doesn't need me to stand up for him. And so he, you know, respectfully and honorably assured her that he was going to take his plates. He was just standing up for a second. Anyway, this lady, this beautiful daughter of the Most High. You know, I went home and I was so mad. And I said to my dad, because my dad was a pastor, so I was like, is there any magical powers that you can do to punish her? You know, I was so angry. And my dad was like, oh, just relax. She probably just had a bad day. And so, you know, no one else was as annoyed as I was. And here I am, 38, still telling you guys about it. And every time we'd drive past that shopping center, you know, my dad, my mom, my brother would just be sitting there looking forward, and I'd see her shop and I'd be like, you know, I'm like, yeah, we've driven past and I gave it the evils, I showed her, you know. Gosh, I didn't mean for that story to take that long, but you know, there was no one else who was interested in my little feud. Not, she didn't even know about my little feud that I was having with her. It was kind of one-sided. And so, you know, she was just living her life. Everyone else was just living their life. But here I was, you know, having this real, you know, one-sided wrestling matches with her in my mind. And anyway, forgiveness. This may be a little bit of a challenging message for us to hear, but I pray that as we look at God's word and hear what God has to say about forgiveness, that the Holy Spirit can bring to the surface some things, and that his Holy Spirit would empower us so that we can deal with this hurt biblically. And I've actually been praying all week long for you guys that God would give you the power to do the impossible, because it's not a natural thing to forgive. But with God's power, we can do the impossible. And so if there's unforgiveness in your heart, I pray that the Holy Spirit, through the living word of God, will be able to do something supernatural and deep in your heart. So let's talk about it today, and let's allow the Bible to speak to us in what I pray will be a life-changing way, okay? So let's start with the why. Why should I forgive? Number one, I should forgive because unforgiveness hurts me. Job 5 verse 2 says, resentment kills a fool. I love how it's, you know, pretty straight up, eh? Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So many of us are living with a bitter root, and we don't even know it. Roots of bitterness, they're like cancer. They eat away at your soul. It eats away at you, and it hurts the relationships in your life, your relationships with people and your relationship with God. And the Bible says that root of bitterness, it grows up and defiles many. So it doesn't just affect you, it affects many. Unforgiveness hurts you. I heard it said once that it's like a broken glass. You grab a broken glass and you squeeze it and you refuse to let go. I remember maybe about 6 years ago, it was Roisin. We were at a band practice back in Auckland, and my son, my youngest son, Joey, he was maybe 3 at the time, and he was sitting next to her, and she had her iPod, and she introduced him to the game called Angry Birds. And my son, Joey, he's really interested in people. He loves watching people. He loves drama. He loves the story. And so, you know, who hasn't heard of Angry Birds, the game? Pretty much everyone. And so he was so interested in this game because to him he was like, they're really angry. Why are they angry? I don't know, Mom. I don't know why they're angry, but they're so angry at these pigs that they've decided to do what anyone reasonable should do. They put themselves into a slingshot and they fire themselves across the way at these pigs. And sometimes they hit the pigs. Sometimes the pigs are hiding in these wooden structures, sometimes in metal structures. But if you aim just right and you tap the screen, you can turn into 3 birds, all angry still. But what happens? He was so sad because he's like, what happens at the end if you shoot and you hit them, or even if you miss? the bird actually dies and disappears. And now we're talking about it today. But sometimes we do that, right? We feel hurt by somebody. Spoiler, if you don't know why they're angry at the pigs, it's because the pigs stole their eggs. But why would you want to walk around with a grudge that only hurts you? Most of the time, if you're really bad at the game like I was, you don't even get the pigs back, but you end up still dying. And Lamont said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping that the other person will die. There's a story here. I'll read it to you. It says, one day, two monks were walking through the countryside. They were on their way to another village to help bring in the crops. As they walked, they spied an old woman sitting on the edge of a river. She was upset because there was no bridge and she could not get across on her own. So the first monk, he kindly offered, we will carry you across if you would like. A strong guy. I think he does zoo or something. Thank you, she said gratefully, accepting their help. So the two men joined hands, lifted her between them and carried her across the river. When they got to the other side, they set her down and she went on her way. After they had walked another mile or so, the second monk began to complain. Look at my clothes, he said. They're filthy from carrying that woman across the river. And my back still hurts from lifting her, stupid woman. I can feel it getting stiff. The first monk just smiled and nodded his head. A few more miles up the road, the second monk griped again. My back, it hurts so bad. And it's all because we had to carry that silly woman across the river. I cannot go any further because of the pain. The first monk looked down at his partner, who was now lying on the ground, moaning. Have you wondered why I am not complaining? He said. Your back hurts because you are still carrying the woman. But I set her down 5 miles ago. And so this is what a lot of us are like when we hold on to unforgiveness. We're that second monk who just won't let go. Holding on to unforgiveness hurts me. That's number one. Why should we forgive? Number two, why should I forgive? Because I need forgiveness. Going back to that same scripture, Matthew 6, 14 to 15, Jesus said, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This doesn't mean that by forgiving people, we earn our forgiveness from God. It doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that forgiven people forgive others. To emphasize his point, Jesus told the story of the man who had owed the king 10,000 talents, the Bible says. So there was a man who owed the king 10,000 talents. And so I did a little bit of Googling, and according to one article, 10,000 talents equals 200,000 years worth of wages. So that's a lot of money. Translated to today, it's about 7 billion. So in other words, there's no way that he could ever, ever pay it back, even if he gave every cent that he earned for the rest of his life. The king ordered him to pay it, but he couldn't pay it back. The king said for him to be thrown in jail and tortured until he could pay it back. But then the man, he begged for mercy. So the king had mercy on him and said, your debt's cancelled, you can go. But then that same man, that same servant, he went and found another servant who owed just a little bit of money. The Bible says denarii, 10 denarii. And he said to that servant, pay back what you owe me. But that servant couldn't pay him back. And so he had him thrown in jail and his kids and his wife. And verse 31 says, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went to their master and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called the servant in and said, you wicked servant, I canceled all of that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jails to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. And then Jesus said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. You know, it's we sing a lot of songs about how we've been saved by grace and his mercy saved me. And, you know, it's those songs are awesome. They're beautiful because they paint a picture of how we've been saved by a merciful God. But isn't it funny how sometimes We're so happy to receive that forgiveness, but then when it comes time for us to give that forgiveness to someone else, it's hard. I must forgive because I desperately need forgiveness. So that's the why. Let's talk about the how. How do I forgive someone who's hurt me? Number one, pray for those who hurt you. Ouchie. Forgiveness is not human nature. Back then, Jesus said in Matthew, he said, "You've heard it said before, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth." So Jesus was basically saying, that's the norm, right? That's the normal, and that's understandable, right? Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Yeah, that's in the Bible. Can we take that? In Jewish law, it had been an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. And also in Roman customs back in those days as well, they worshipped one of their Roman gods was actually the god called Nemesis, who was the goddess of revenge. So they actually really valued revenge back then. So, you know, if someone cuts off your toe, you can go cut off their toe. And of course, you're allowed to hate your enemies because it's normal. But Jesus was saying, yes, that's normal. But I think all of us in this room who know Jesus know that Jesus does not want his people to be normal. Because in the very next verse he says, "I tell you though, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." If we don't forgive people when they do us wrong, how can we expect God to forgive us? And let's think about Jesus' example while he hung on the cross. While he was hanging on the cross, while the people were hurting him, while he was listening to their curses, listening to and watching people gambling over his clothes, the people, he saw the hate in their eyes. While he was going through all of that, he was praying for them. He cried out to God, "Father, forgive them." That's the amazing God that we serve. I don't think that I would have been praying for those people if it had been me on the cross. And to be honest, I don't think any of us in this room have suffered. We talked about hurt just before. I don't think any of us in this room have suffered as much as Jesus suffered, but yet he could pray for them. He could pray for those people who were hurting him. And to be honest, I think that him being totally God, hanging on the cross, I don't think he just looked out at those people who were hating on him and hurling insults at him. He also looked down the ages of time, through time and space, and he saw us living the way that we were living, walking in sin, hating on each other. We were the ones who put him on the cross. And yet while he was on the cross, he prayed for us. "Father, forgive them." You know, Jesus is the man. You know, he not only commands us to do these things, he did them. He was the perfect model for how we can forgive. You know, I went to zoo yesterday and I'm still here. I'm still alive. You know, but one thing that I loved about the trainers there, like Raywin, I can't let her get away with this. She was like telling everyone to do, "Okay, everybody," with a big smile, "let's do a billion gazillion burpees." And, you know, I wanted to say other things, but I said, "Okay." But then when we were doing them, she was doing them as, you know, she was doing them probably 10 of her ones were at the same time as it took me to do one. You know, but she was doing what she had told us to do. And that there's nothing like a leader who not only just tells us the hard things, but is also doing them by our side. And that's what our Jesus did. Because, you know, when I get asked to forgive somebody, most of the time in my head, I'm talking like my kids and saying, "But I don't want to." I can totally understand that. But, you know, because we never feel like it. But one thing I've learned is that even though you don't feel like it, oftentimes if you just do the right thing, the feelings will come after. We can't be just led by not feeling like it. I wanted to just share this quick story about 12 years ago. We decided to go into business, and we bought into this business with a really close friend of ours. We bought his partner out, and then now we were in business. Like, my husband's really tight with this brother of ours, and so we were in business. Business. A word of advice, don't go into business if you have no idea what you're doing. Anyway, so Ulu, my husband, he took over the financial side of the partnership. The other guy was in charge of like sales and all of that because he was the one with the actual talent. And so we, Ulu was looking at the books, and you know, after a while, he got one of our accountant sisters in, and she looked at the books, and she said, "Man, there's this guy who had been a staff member of the business, but he had just recently, conveniently, moved to live in the UK. She found out that he had been embezzling from the business for years, and the partner who we had bought out had missed the whole thing, and so." The business was actually over $250,000 in debt. And then people started to call because they wanted their money. And so, long story short, we went through a pretty tough few years of paying back all of this debt that wasn't even ours. But, you know, if you meet Ulu and if you know Ollie, our brother who they were in business with, they are two of the most positive, faith-filled guys. Like, they were talking, "You got faith? Yeah, I got faith," you know. And Ollie's wife and I would just sit there going, "Yeah, well, yeah, your faith, and where's the money for the nappies?" And, you know, it took me a long time to forgive those people who had hurt us. You know, I used to think to myself, "Man, I hope they have a stink life," you know. The Bible says to pray for those who hurt you, and all that. Yeah, I'll pray for you. I'll pray that you .. But you know, the Holy Spirit started to prompt me after a while, not to pray that they get hit by a bus or get a bad case of the runs. But you know what? You know what I talked about with doing the right thing even before you feel like it? Because I knew that the Holy Spirit was like, "You need to deal with this. I want you to pray for this person in particular." I started to pray half-hearted prayers. "Lord, bless them. Help them with whatever they're doing." But you know what? As I started to just press in, because I knew I was just being obedient to my God, who I loved, the feelings started to come, and I started to feel compassion for these people. And I started to see through God's perspective that they did what they did because of the brokenness in their lives. And God started to heal me to the point where I can joke about it now. And it doesn't hurt anymore to think about it. That's complete healing. You know, I wouldn't change anything in the past. But that's the kind of healing that God wants to bring to you. Start by praying for those who hurt you. And the last one is, how do we forgive? Just forgive as you've been forgiven. Forgiven people forgive others. God will give you the power to do the hard, impossible things that he has called you to do if you put your trust in him. Christian writer John Bevere said, "Being wounded is one of the most strongest tools that the enemy uses to not only destroy relationships on earth, but also your relationship with the Lord. When we don't choose to forgive, we can lose relationships with key people that God's called us to do. Called us to walk with. Forgiveness involves unhooking yourself from all of the hurtful stuff in the past, refusing to let it take any more away from your life, saying, "I'm not going to be tied to that anymore." It's not easy. Actually, it's pretty impossible. But God loves it when his children look at the impossible things, and instead of sighing and saying, "Oh, it's too hard," they look to him and they put their faith in him to empower them to do the impossible. The impossible, like forgive someone who's not even sorry. To forgive someone who totally doesn't deserve it. If you've ever traveled overseas, you know that you pack your bags for where you want to go. Here in Brisbane, it's pretty hot. I don't know if you guys feel hot, but being from cold Auckland, I feel pretty hot when I'm here. But if you were to come to Auckland, I heard, like my husband was saying, "I needed some more blankets on my bed." I had to actually tell him where we keep the blankets. But if you're going to a cold place, you're going to leave your bikinis behind, right? You're going to leave your string singlets that some of the guys, nah, just kidding. You pack your bag for the place that you're going. If you want to live a life free from bondage, a life filled with peace, filled with joy, filled with hope, leave the stuff behind. Leave the extra stuff behind. Choose to forgive today. Not for them, but for you. When I chose to forgive those people that had hurt us, I found out that I was setting a captive free. But I didn't realize that the whole time, the captive was actually me. Someone asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? You know, like yesterday, I just only wanted to do 7 burpees. Jesus said, no, not 7 times, 70 times 7. And that doesn't mean, for those of you who are nerds out there, that doesn't just mean 490. What Jesus was trying to do, do you like that? A bit of calculation skills there. Actually, I just asked someone. No, just kidding. Jesus didn't mean a specific number. He wanted us to just be a forgiving people. He wanted his children, he wanted his followers to be people who go through life getting hurt, but just the way that we do things is that we forgive. 70 times 7. He wanted us to develop a forgiving heart. And some of us here, I think that the most pressing thing that God is trying to do in your heart today is to develop a forgiving heart in you. Holding on to past hurt is one of the most self-destructive things you can do. I pray that if anyone in this room is in bondage to bitterness, I pray that the Spirit of God would touch your heart and that God would do a miracle in you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.